International Version, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the street, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.
G'day, good to see you today. My name's Richie, one of the pastors here. Just letting you know, I'll be away the next few weeks. I've got study leave next week and then some annual leave for 3 weeks. I've gone to Japan with my daughter, so I'll see you for the start of our next term where we're going to be, the second week of next term, we're going to be looking at Luke's gospel together. Let me pray and we'll get into it. Father, thank you so much for the gift of your word. We ask now that you would help us to receive it and live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, no one likes to waste things, but what could be worse than wasting your life? It's 2009, I'm overseas, and I meet a woman who travels around Southeast Asia visiting prisoners, caring for their needs. In particular, she visits foreign prisoners, people who are serving long sentences with no family or friends nearby. And I end up going with her to a few prisons. I meet quite a few inmates. One man I meet, his name's Winston. He's in his 40s. He's 15 years into serving a life sentence. And through the glass wall, Winston and I get to know each other. We have a warm and wonderful chat, and we plan to stay in touch. And he asked for my address. And when I get back to Australia, there's a letter from Winston waiting for me. He's written a really meaningful letter, a letter full of feeling, and it's a letter about how not to waste your life. So here's a man who's missed out terribly. If anybody's wasted their life, it's him. With all that hindsight, all that time to reflect, what advice do you think he'll give me? Now, it's not the classic things you'd think someone regretting their time in prison might say. It's not don't fall in with the wrong crowd or don't get into drugs. It's not the classic things we tell ourselves. Learn to appreciate what you've got, look after your health, or don't neglect time with your family. Yeah, there's some good advice there, but it's none of those things. While in prison, Winston's become a Christian. He started a church in the prison, and his advice comes straight from the chapter that was just read out today. I've still got the letter, actually, and he he says, he calls me Jimmy, and he says, "Hey Jimmy, how beautiful and uplifting it was when you paid me a visit on the 16th of January. I want to encourage you to remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. For it is in Him that you can lead a fearless and abundant life, in contrast to mine, where the cords of my sin have held me for these past 15 years." His advice was right out of Ecclesiastes 12. Remember your Creator in your youth. See, for Winston and for the author of Ecclesiastes, you avoid wasting your life by remembering your Creator while you still can. Verse 1 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you'll say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" And this is the message of the whole chapter. In fact, it's where the entire book has been leading us. All through the series, and we're up to the last talk now, all through the series we've been seeing how everything in this world, us included, is like a breath, a mist, a puff of smoke, a here then gone. When we chase the things of the world, our money, success, knowledge, a good reputation, excellent life circumstances, whatever it is, when we chase these things, it's like chasing after the wind. We try to catch them, but they slip through our fingers and never bring us the meaning and pleasure we were really looking for. And for the teacher in Ecclesiastes, you waste your life when you spend it chasing after the wind. Now, the book might have seemed quite random to you, a bit of a mishmash of ideas, particularly as the in those middle chapters, like chapter 7 we saw last week, there's all these different ideas all over the place. But I think the teacher's writing in a way that matches the random wandering of the human heart. Our hearts are like water rushing into a dry valley. All at once we're running off that way, trickling through a crevice over here, rushing through a gap there, spreading ourselves out, chasing the wind. But what the teacher has been doing, the author of Ecclesiastes, what he's been doing verse after verse after verse is hemming us in. Stop. No, that's a dead end. No point chasing this, or don't waste your short life doing that. Stop hiding under that rock pretending death isn't coming. He's putting up embankments, damming us in. He's channeling our hearts toward the alternative, toward the only way that you can actually make the most of life. There's been plenty of hints along the way, but in the last chapter, this alternative is front and center. How do you avoid wasting your life? Well, it's not by chasing, but by remembering. By remembering the one who made you. And that's what today will be about, remembering your Creator. And we're going to look at what it means to remember your Creator, when to remember your Creator, and then why to remember your Creator. What, when, why? Now, firstly, what does it mean to remember your Creator? Remembering here isn't like remembering to take the bins out or turn off the light or submit your tax return. It's not that sort of remembering. It's more like when a parent says to a little kid, "Remember, I'm your dad. Trust me on this. I know what's best for you." It's not for a second that the child has forgotten who their dad is, but they need to be reminded. They need to know more deeply their position in relation to their dad. They need to know who they are and who he is. And remembering your Creator has to do with knowing who you are and knowing who he is, knowing your place and his. And notice in particular that the teacher doesn't simply call him God at this point. In verse 1 he says, "Remember your Creator." Remembering him is about recognizing the one who made you. It's a sort of genuine recognition where you can't help but treat him as your Creator, your maker, your former, your designer. In Ecclesiastes, the teacher uses the word meaningless or literally breath 45 times. A breath, breath, breath. Everything under the sun. Every created thing is breath, temporary, elusive. But the Creator is not. Now, personally, I've got as much out of this series than any series I have in years. And a number of other people have said, even this morning, I had multiple conversations where people said, I've really been enjoying Ecclesiastes. We've had good discussions in our Bible study, you know, that sort of thing. For me, I've been so convinced afresh of the futility of chasing after the things of this world. Now, how stupid it is that I fantasize and think winning $1 million will satisfy me, or how stupid it is that I believe if I just get my circumstances right, the right house, the right amount of leisure, the right friends, well, then I'll be truly happy. Or how ridiculous it is that I think if I get other people to value me, I'll somehow feel complete as a person. I've been convinced afresh that no created thing can give me the life and purpose and happiness and love and hope and order that I'm seeking. But that's only half of what the teacher wants me to see from this book. See, if that's all I took away from Ecclesiastes, that'll be like having a seriously moldy, decaying house and rightly stripping out all the walls, but then not putting new ones back in, just living in the empty house with the job half done. See, it's not simply enough for me to give up chasing the things of the world. We're only halfway there at that point. No, remembering my Creator is what I need to do instead. So remembering your Creator is about knowing that God is the Creator and everything else is created. It's about going to the Creator to satisfy your longings rather than looking to have them met in created things. The Creator is the one who's not like a breath. You know, as we've been saying, all the things in this world are temporary. Your Creator is not. All the things in this world are elusive. Your Creator promises, seek and you will find. All the things of this world, when they're chased, they disappoint. Your Creator, He satisfies. How do we know what our Creator is like? Well, because we find Him in His Son, Jesus. See, over and over, we keep wasting our lives trying to get the things of this world, but Jesus gave up His whole life to get us. His love is more satisfying than life itself. As we heard last week, He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. See, we treat God as our Creator when we actually go to Him with our hunger and thirst. We treat God as Creator when we actually orient our hearts and our lives around Him, not anything else. Now, of course, what it looks like remembering your Creator will differ a bit depending on where you're at. If you've never known God, remembering your Creator will bring a brand new realization. If you do already know your Creator, remembering Him will mean continuing and going deeper in that recognition, that sense of who you are and who He is, and living in that. So that's the first point. We've seen what it means to remember your Creator. Now let's look at when. When must I remember my Creator? Well, the answer is now. Don't wait a moment. A few years ago, we were living in Brisbane and we moved house from Petrie Terrace to Red Hill. Number of my friends say, oh, you moved to that part of Red Hill. That's so cool. That's right next to this great place for takeaway, Botanica. And they say that, these trustworthy friends of ours. But for the next 18 months, we try every cafe, every restaurant in sort of basically the area, except for Botanica. In the end, we finally go there and I bring home the food. And we're sitting at the table going, I cannot believe what we've been missing out on all this time. It's 100 meters away, literally, like so close. It's delicious, super healthy, instant service, you don't have to wait. And the best thing for me as a bit of a stingy person is that one container for $16 was enough for 3 adults. Yet finding Botanica, it was this strange experience. I was really enjoying the food, but at the same time as I ate, I was full of regret that we hadn't been going there all along, kicking myself. And in verse 1, the teacher urges us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, before we get to our last days. And when he's saying that, what he's saying is, don't be the person who looks back with regret on what life could have been. Don't waste all your years. Remember your Creator now, because that'll help you make the most of what life you've got left. And then to really ram home the urgency of remembering God now, he paints a shocking and vivid picture of old age. In the next six verses, there's one image piled on top of another. And it's quite confronting, I think. He wants us to hear, smell, taste and touch the decay. He's really trying to drum some sense into everybody who isn't there yet so they don't waste their life now. He's saying, this is what's coming. You need to recognize, remember God now. So follow along from verse 2. Remember your Creator before the sun and light and moon and stars darken and everything goes black. Remember your Creator before the keepers of the house tremble. These are ancient metaphors. This is about your hands are trembling, are shaking in old age. The strong men are bent is about your legs bending and not being able to carry your weight. The grinders ceasing because they are few is about your teeth falling out and not being able to chew anymore. The windows growing dim is about your eyes losing their sight. In verse 4, the doors to the street are our ears. We can't even hear our few teeth grinding together anymore, yet somehow in the moment when we wish our ears didn't work, they work too well and we're woken up by the sound of birds in the morning. We're now awake, but we could never join the birds in song because our voice has grown weak. As toddlers, we'd fall over 5, 10, 20 times a day more, and we bear no lasting injury. But verse 5, now we're afraid of heights, of tripping. A fall in the street could be a death sentence. The almond tree blossoms, that means our hair goes white. Where once we were springing around like grasshoppers, now we're dragging our bodies along. And there isn't much appetite left for anything, it says. No appetite for work or sex or food. With our failing body comes failing desire. And of course, it all ends with a funeral. Mourners go about the streets. And don't be naive. Don't be oblivious. This is not some theory. It's real. My wife and I have just spent the last couple of years with her beloved mum, watching and walking beside her as she rapidly went through this whole process. And many of you would have walked beside loved ones in their last years. See, death and dying, it's real. It will happen to you. You will not be able to control it. Verse 6 says, the teacher says, remember your Creator before then. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the jug is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. He's saying, remember your Creator before you get old and die. Remember your Creator now. Now, of course, you can be in your very last days and come to faith in God. This is the story of the thief on the cross. He was saved as he hung dying next to Jesus. And it's also possible that in your last few years or weeks, you might enter into a much deeper trust in God. You might remember him like you never did before. And that's true. And if you're in your final stage of life, you do need to think about what it means for you to remember your Creator now. But this chapter is really written for those who aren't there yet. It's for those who still have years left that could be wasted or not. So you don't want to get to the end, to come to your senses and be filled with regret for what life could have been. The teacher says, don't do that. Remember your Creator now. So we've seen what it means to remember your Creator. We've seen when to remember your Creator. Now let's dig a bit deeper into why. Why should I remember my Creator? And why should I do it now? Well, we'll see two reasons. It'll keep me from wasting my life now, and it'll keep me from wasting my eternity. Firstly, I should remember my Creator now because it'll keep me from wasting my life now. Verse 11 says, "The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd." Now, a nail, right, it gives something stability, it sets it in place. A goad, you might not have heard of this goad before, but a goad does the same thing. A goad's basically a stick with nails on the end. It's used by shepherds to keep their sheep going in a steady, fixed direction. So the point is that heeding this wise word to remember your Creator will give your life stability. It'll fix it in a direction. So see, when we chase after created things, we can never really have any stability. Our hearts chase here, there, and everywhere. The only constant is the search. But because in our Creator, our hearts actually find what they're looking for, we can let go of the search. We don't need to waste our lives trying to suck the life out of empty things. We can just enjoy the things of this world as gifts from the giver. Actually, as we remember our Creator, as we put our hope in Him, follow Him, obey Him, we're living the life that we were made to live. We're no longer bits of loose timber flapping in the breeze. Our lives are nailed in place, stable, fit for the purpose. And yes, nails do hurt. At times it'll hurt to remember your Creator. It'll mean going one way when the crowd is chasing something the other way. It'll mean tearing yourself away from empty things that you've been running after. At times it'll mean denying yourself, saying no, living sacrificially rather than selfishly. But you'll be being who you were made to be. You'll have a sense of meaning and joy and rightness that you can't find anywhere else. You'll be living for what matters and what lasts, not for what's here and then gone. So remembering your Creator now will help you to avoid wasting your life now. It'll also keep you from wasting your eternity. Look at the last two verses. It says from verse 13, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Now, fear God, it's essentially another way of saying remember your Creator. A fear of God is about trembling awe and reverence. It's going, "You're the one I must love and obey and put my hope in, not anything else." And we need to remember our Creator, fear God like this, because the day is coming when God will bring every action into judgment, including all we've hidden away in secret. I didn't tell you earlier, but the secret for me about this letter, the thing I never really told people until a few years ago, is that I never responded to it. For years I thought I should write back, I should write back. I never did. Now I'm 16 years too late, and here's this lonely guy in prison who I go and visit. I'm so warm with. I tell him I'll keep in touch. He goes to the effort of writing a heartfelt letter to me, and in the end I don't get around to responding. And I've done this sort of thing a bunch of times. I invest in someone, yet the moment they're out of my sight, I forget about them. What sort of person am I that I would do that? And that's just the tiny, tiny, weeny tip of the iceberg. On the day of judgment, every hidden thing in our lives, all All the secret things you couldn't bear your friends or your partner or your children finding out about, or all the lies, or all the whispered conversations, all the things said about others in secrets, all the hidden thoughts, the desires, the fantasies, all the things buried deep, everything that you've ever done, it'll all be laid before God, and you'll have to give an account. And if you stand alone on that day, you'll have so much to answer for that you cannot. Your eternity will be one of misery nailed down by your guilt. But if you remember your Creator's love and mercy and forgiveness, if you remember the gift he gave of his only son to die for you and be condemned in your place, if you remember him, you'll go free and your eternity will be one of joy. Liberated from all your guilt, no longer chained by your secrets. See, remembering your Creator will keep you from wasting not only your now, it'll keep you from wasting your eternity. So here's what the teacher's telling us to do in the final chapter. Here's his wise words to wrap up his book. He's saying, remember your Creator today because it will help you avoid wasting your life both now and in eternity. So have you remembered your Creator? Are you remembering him? And if you are remembering him, can I add to what I've already said, sort of take the next logical step and ask, how are you helping others not to waste their lives? Yes, of course, not to waste their now. How are you helping others not to waste their now? But in particular, how are you helping others not to waste their eternity? So don't be the believer who invests all their time and anxiety and money and energy into empty, breathy stuff that won't last. Don't be the believer who arrives in eternity with no crown of joy, no delight over those who are here with you because you've shared with them the wonderful news. No, instead, keep faithfully investing in your friends and family and kids and neighbours so that they can enjoy eternity with you. For all of us, let's keep remembering our Creator. It's the thing we're made to do. Let's pray. Father, we're sorry for how foolish we are, for how quick we chase after the things of this world. And how we then go and hide that we've done it. Father, we thank you for the gift of your only Son, the forgiveness that's found in him. Father, please help us, I don't know if it's draw a line in the sand or just wherever we are at the moment, help us have a big shift in our lives, that we might come to a much deeper sense of your goodness and your reality and that you are our Creator, and that you would help us not to waste our lives on chasing created things, but instead to live each day for you, our Creator. In his name we pray. Amen.